never miss the latest Game Tea. Check us out on social media. You can find us on Facebook at The Game Tea Podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Game Tea Podcast X. We post memes, gaming news, retweet friends of the pod, and of course, let you know when new episodes are available for your sippin' pleasure. Links are all available in the description of this episode, so check them out after the show, and thank you so much for listening to The Game Tea Podcast. Everybody, and thanks for listening to another episode of the Game Tea Podcast. This is incredibly weird because I am going first, and my name is Czar.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Lucian.
Hey, you guys aren't Zach and JP. What the hell are you doing in here?
We're the replacements today.
I'm filling in. Put me in, coach.
Filling in. Put me in, coach. Yes, we have Austin and we have Lucian with us today. Unfortunately, JP was not able to make it. We are recording during the week, but fortunately, we all work for the same company, so we were able to get into the studio during the day.
Super easy.
Yeah.
Great success.
Gotta love working for Herd Dat. Anywho, so I feel like we have been gone for so long, and Game Tea has not quite been a thing. And as you might notice, listeners and now viewers, we have a little bit of a video feed going on here. So to get into this episode, before we go over any itinerary or what we're doing, why we're back, let's get to know these two gentlemen just a little bit more.
Oh, please. Oh. You don't need to know me.
I like being dark and mysterious.
Dark and mysterious. Stoic.
I guess I'll go first. I work on the agency side at Herd Dat, do a bunch of research, SEO work, and been a gamer pretty much my whole life since I broke my brother's original Resident Evil 2 copy for the PS1.
No. Why'd you snap it?
I think I was maybe less than 4 years old.
Okay. Reasonable excuse. Reasonable
just curious. Excuse.
Yeah.
All right. So, Austin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, what is there to tell? I mean, I lived all over the country. I technically have dual citizenship with Germany. Fun fact.
Oh, nice.
That's impressive.
That's cool.
Haven't had to do a little intro since college here. one of those icebreakers. But yeah, I lived all over the country. Dad was in the army. And my fiance here in Nebraska. And here I am.
Awesome. Awesome. So this isn't a gaming podcast without gaming, right? So give us a little bit of a gaming background. You said you trashed your brother's Resident Evil 2 copy, but where did you go after that?
Well, you know, I probably started with my Game Boy Advance SP playing Pokemon Fire Red versions of the first game.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Sinking hours and hours. Didn't complete the Pokédex ever.
Oof.
Like, ever.
But oof. It was a hard one with the remakes, the Fire Red, Leaf Green. You know, they added a bunch of Pokemon. Yeah. Good time, though. Good time.
And then, you know, I've been PlayStation fanboy my whole life. I took a quick divot with the original Xbox, but
I think everybody did, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, yeah. What is this? We got to check it out at least.
And that's why you're sitting in front of the blue.
Exactly.
PlayStation.
It all works out.
Well, right on. We're glad to have you on the podcast, Austin, and we'll see you at an upcoming event that we will talk about in just a minute or two here.
Ooh.
Moving over to the other side of the table, Lucian.
Hello. Welcome me.
Mr. Smooth Voice.
My name is Lucian. I've been gaming since Crash Bandicoot 1.
Nice.
Maybe Twisted Metal 2. I think that's kind of what I started gaming on when I was a kid. And my pissing my brother off story when I was younger was he would play Twisted Metal 2 with his friends in my parents' room on their really cool TV, and I'd get really mad that he wouldn't let me play, so I would run in and hit the restart button on his PlayStation 1 like mid-game. Oh, no. And just piss him off, or I'd be like, Mom needs you, and then he'd run out and I'd hit restart. I probably corrupted that PlayStation 1 by doing that so much.
But what a dick.
Yeah, that was my dick move for when I was a kid. But as we got older, we learned not to fuck with people's games. Sorry, am I allowed to cuss?
Oh, yeah.
I always got to ask because I'm going to cuss like a sailor. I just got to put that out there. So
we don't have a goddamn filter here. Oh, watch your fucking mouth.
Okay, good to know. So yeah, that was my intro to gaming. Just like you, Austin, grew up on PlayStation. That was the first console I ever had with my brother. And then of course, just like you took a little detour into Xbox land for the original Red Dead Revolver, games like that. But and kind of stuck through it till I want to say the 360 era, and then that Ring of Death, man.
I was just going to say,
I bet the Red Ring. That was the reason I stopped. It was just like, yep. I don't want to keep buying more Xboxes. So I went back to PlayStation 4, if only for just the Spider-Man game that came out at the time. And I've been stuck with it since until I got nicely gifted a really nice computer. So now I'm just PC Master Race, man. Like, I love Steam. I love playing all games on computer. I'm also a musician in a metal band. Anything that's kind of dark and creepy, I really love. So any games like that, like your Phantasmophobia, your Dead by Daylight, I'm there.
You also got a podcast. Go ahead.
I do.
Shameless plug.
If you have not listened yet, go check out The Weekly Geekly. We're available anywhere you find your podcasts. We do celebrity interviews, reviews of old movies, new content, just a little bit of everything. We've even got some scripted specialty shows we've been putting out in the last year. So if you want something different, go check out The Weekly Geekly.
Very cool. Very cool. It is a very cool podcast. I can safely assure all fans out there.
It's got the Game T stamp of approval.
It do got the Game T
stamp. What else do you need?
Not much. Right? Not much.
I was going to say, I think the only thing that overtakes the Red Ring of Death is now the Joy-Con drift these days.
Oh,
I
can't the Joy-Con yes. drift.
Yeah.
Yes, it is rampant and across every single system. I am currently losing my favorite Joy-Cons to Joy-Con drift. Yeah. They are orange and purple, and I'm so sad to see them go.
You get attached to them, literally.
You do. You do.
I get attached to games so like too much. Like skins. Mm-hmm. That's how they got me. The skins. Like skins are the reason I play games. I feel like anymore. I just want to make them look different and cool. And we were talking a little bit before the show. Me and you both play Dead by Daylight, mm-hmm. and I spent so money on skins. So much money. Like, and then what sucks is they don't have a way to carry over from system to system, so I had to spend that money again.
Oof, that's on play,
on PC. But apparently they're working on it. They're trying to do some, you know, way to do it, but we'll see.
Those Attack on Titan skins on DVD.
Oh, so, you got those?
Yeah, nice. I got the Armored Titan one. It's very nice.
That's got its own sound effects, its own everything. I love that. That's,
man, put a lot of care into that one.
Yeah, their ultra rares are like skins that they'll put in new voice lines, they'll put in new like features with it. So it's not just a skin, it's a little bit extra. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Love when a game does that.
It's way cooler than a Fortnite skin.
Oh, God, absolutely. Fortnite skin, you're just getting a skin. There's nothing fun with it, you know? Like you don't get a new weapon, you don't get a new character. Sorry, my mic.
Oh, cutting God, out. We're having technical difficulties.
I gotta stop hitting my...
Oh.
Am I good? Oh. Can you hear me?
Oh,
I hear you now.
We're losing Lucian.
I might need to just change this mic cord or just hold it like this. I can do that.
We'll power through until we can't.
Damn faulty cords.
Who's running this place?
God, us.
Oh, wait, we are.
We are.
Oh, shit.
That would be us, yeah.
Whoops. All right. So now that we've got these introductions out of the way, you may notice this beautiful trophy sitting right next to us. Yeah. That is because we are hosting the second annual Winter Wonder Smash tournament at the Heard That Sports Bar in La Vista. That's going to be on January 27th. It's the last Saturday in January, starting from noon to 1 for registration, and then the tournament will kick off at 1 p.m. Now, this is going to be like an all-day event, so we're hoping for a lot of people to come out. It'll be $10 to sign up for the singles bracket. That'll get you a free Game T koozie, and it'll get you entered into the tournament to start playing Smash.
Hold on. You're giving out koozies?
I am giving out koozies.
I still have like three from the first event.
You do?
I have one.
Right. We did give you a bunch from the event. You've got a couple.
I will steal all of them.
There we go. So get to them before Lucian does.
Yeah. They're going to be gone, so get there early.
Absolutely. And it is going to be a great time. We had a blast last year. We had somebody as far as North Dakota come down and game with us.
That's crazy.
That kid took second.
Wow. So that's the main competition this year, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to get your smash on into the new year, come on down to the Heard That Sports Bar. We're going to have a great time. These two will be here. You might even see JP there.
Yeah. I got a couple guys from my podcast that are competing as well. So they were training last night for like 4 straight hours.
So. We have it on good authority that Iowa Western will be sending some esports players as well. So the competition is going to be stacked.
Yeah, it's getting stiffer every day, man.
Every day.
I'll watch a couple YouTube videos the night before.
Prepare. I'll strat. Nice strat. Pre-registration is now open. So go on, sign up, and get ready to smash. Possibly even take this beauty home with you.
Oh. We're getting good at that.
Yeah, you guys are, man. I have you guys on my sound effect team. Damn. Well, I suppose getting into the itinerary a little bit, we're going to go over some games we're playing. We're going to talk about our Smash mains. And since 2023 has been such a stellar year for gaming, we're going to go over some of the games we've loved and hated this year.
Hell yeah.
That sounds awesome to me. So I guess without further ado, there is one specific question in the room, boys. What fucking games you playing right now?
Austin, what do you got?
All right. What am I not playing?
That's the better
shorter
question.
List.
Right now, I'm still balls deep in Baldur's Gate 3.
Same.
Game of the year.
Now, how far have you gotten? I want to know, because I'm not that far.
I'm still in Act 1.
No way. Yeah, I think I am too.
Just because it's like, you can spend hours and like, oh, there's a tentacle monster around this corner.
Did you get through the goblin camp, and did you get to the Moonrise Towers? I have not gotten there yet. I'm trying to go through the Underdark, and it's fucking impossible.
That sounds terrifying.
It's horrible. It's
the
like
Underdark?
Yeah, it's like this in D&D lore, there's a whole world underground from the real world. And it's like super dangerous. There's monsters and traps and just like all this crap to get through. And in the game, they're like, hey, you need to get to these towers. And you can go here or you can go there to get there. And I chose probably the more dangerous route. I don't know. Sure. So I'm pretty pissed at myself.
I'm a tiefling bard. Are you gonna drop what your class
is? I made my real D&D character into a Baldur's Gate character. Ooh. So I'm a dwarf rogue.
Nice.
Assassin rogue.
You know what's really funny? And when I play D&D, my character is a tiefling bard.
That's awesome.
I'm not even shitting.
Hell yeah.
Twinning. But just Baldur's Gate's the main game.
Hell yeah.
I do play some Call of Duty still, even though it's like the same game every year.
Reskins.
It's reskin. Yeah. I do buy skins on there and that too.
At least they updated zombies though. You know, that got a good update. So I'm happy for that.
But. Yeah, I heard zombies is actually like really pumping the life into that game. No pun intended.
probably my favorite out of the bunch is, might be shocking to some, Power Wash Simulator.
Oh, my
I'm
going to
leave. Guys, bye.
See you guys.
Somewhere out there, JP just like perked up. Was like, oh, my God. There's
all right,
more.
I'll stay.
Oh, look, he's back. He came back.
And Dead by Daylight, of course.
There we go.
Of course, of course.
You got to say a real game, not just the Power Wash Simulator. Please.
Power Wash Simulator is not just a game. It's a way of life.
It's a way of life.
There's lore.
There is.
There shouldn't be. Why does there need to be Power Washer lore? No. Stop it.
It's the lore we deserve.
Dear God.
Not necessarily the lore we wanted.
Yeah. So, a bunch of different games. Power Wash Simulators kind of wind down after, you know, tunneling on DBD as above a main. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have your de-stressor game when you're just getting absolutely slaughtered by the undead. And you got to like, I want to go wash my car now.
Dear God.
Like, that's going to be nice chill for me.
I just can't get into simulator games, man. I don't know what it is.
Simulator.
No. I know you can even like launch a nuke in that game. And I'm like, that's cool and everything. But at the end of the day, what do I get for it?
You gotta check out Farming Simulator.
Oh my God, you're gonna get me into one of these games, aren't you?
Train simulator, bitch, motherfucker, what you know?
Jesus.
Train simulator, bitch, watch the train go.
I think I would probably do like a flight simulator, but that's not even like, I don't even qualify that as a video
Microsoft
game.
Flight Simulator has Santa if you play on December 24th.
That's great.
Wait, really?
You can play as Santa.
No.
Oh, you just has him in the game?
Yeah. You just be flying around in your simulation, and if it's on December 24th at like midnight, then you'll see Santa in the sky. Go chase him down.
I love when games do that. When they have like a specific thing that happens once a year, like when you log in on that date, or you can change like the time on your console to be like a certain date. Like Red Dead 2 did that. I think there's some Halloween stuff that happened. And then DBD, actually, 7 days after you buy the Ringu expansion, the actual movie plays as the intro to the game.
Oh, that's
But it's
awesome.
Got all the DBD characters in it instead of the movie characters.
That's so cool.
They like remade it, I guess. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But not a lot other than that.
Yeah.
Just kind of chilling with Baldur's Gate 3 mostly. Kind of going with the crowd on that one.
Right on.
They fully deserved everything they got at the Game Awards.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people were like, oh, they're just S in their D. Oh, they don't need that. I'm like, listen, you don't know anything about this game. Do some research. Like, do some research on what these, like, 12 people accomplished. It's better than most AAA titles.
I don't remember it, like, having too many bugs at all during my playthrough.
It's because they took their time with that beta release, and they really are good about, like, listening to the players and, like, what's going on. Versus most games are like, eh, we'll address it in a patch or two. Mm-hmm. But they were, I feel like they were so good at being hands-on with their players. So that just comes to show in the final product.
Yeah.
Definitely. And what I really liked about the Game Awards this year, like you guys said, Baldur's Gate did take it. And I mean, the other big contender in the room was Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda. And I think this was such a great year because nothing won on namesake alone.
Yeah,
the only reason I expected Tears to win this year is because of the name.
And that's what my gaming expert on my show said, and he was upset that they didn't win. And I was like, would you rather them win just because of the name, or would you rather a game win because they earned it and they improved things in the gaming world, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Baldur's Gate, I feel like, just did so much. And none of those other, and even Alan Wake 2, didn't do as much for the community, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to weigh that in when you're thinking about those games.
Absolutely, and I mean, it totally did deserve it.
Yeah.
Back to the games we're playing, though. Yeah. What are you on?
Oh, I'm always playing DBD. That's just, I've been playing it since 2016, and I'm never going to stop playing it. It's one of my favorite games for sure. That's, for me, that's a relaxing game, and it's also a build up game because you get that adrenaline rush. For me, it's like, am I going to be a survivor today or am I going to be a killer? And I just bought Chucky, who's my favorite killer. So I've been maining him like crazy and just pissing everybody off. But then you got to switch to survivor and it's fun to get chased. You know, it's fun to like sneak around. So DBD is always a huge one. And then my cooldown game is probably Baldur's Gate 3 because I can take my time. It feels like a D&D game. Like, I can actually sit down and map out what I want to do. But fuck, it's frustrating. Like, hey, you didn't search every single part of this library, and you forgot this one thing, which is needed for something 12 fucking miles away. So now you got to go back and do it. I'm like, you know, you could have at least hinted at it or, like, made it a little easier to understand. Like, I played D&D most of my life, and even then, it's still a hard game to play.
It's so intricate, so many things to discover. And like you were saying, you could, if you forget one tiny item, you're not going to have a... hate to use this word, optimal playthrough.
Yeah, for sure. And it sucks, but it's definitely a learning experience. It's weird calling it a D&D game and then going back to my quick save moment and like retrying. Like, because I'm like, you can't do that in Dungeons and Dragons. So it's as much Dungeons and Dragons as you can get while still being a video game. So I think that really lends itself to a better gaming experience for people. And I think it'll be fun to see how many people take that game, start it without any D&D experience, and then maybe transfer into that world. So we'll see in a couple of years, I guess, how many more people are playing D&D. But I think for me, those are the two mains. I did get Phantasmophobia because I'm a huge multiplayer guy with my friends. We did just escape the back rooms after like 15 hours. And that was, have you ever played that?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit on it.
And it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating, and it's so... It's not scary. It just knows how to make you jump.
Big blue gangly bastard.
God, there were so many levels where we got stuck for like 2 hours on a level. And then we started having fun. We started getting into it. And we would come back every other week and do it. And last time we played, we finally got out. And I'm still so confused about the game. Like, there's just not enough that they tell you. And you're just like, fuck, I guess I just kind of have to keep going with this. But the one thing I would say about Escape the Backrooms I didn't like was the ending. It's literally just like you go into this like arcade and then you walk even further in and then the game ends. And it's like, yeah, I went through all this bullshit for just to walk into an arcade and then it's the end of the game.
Validate me, damn it.
Give me something to fight for. Give me like a good ending here. But I will say there was a lot of levels in it that I would pick out as personal favorites and definitely go back to play just for those levels. So that was really cool. And then Phantasmophobia is, again, I think very hard to get into, but because it was made as a VR game, and so some of the controls on PC are just really weird. Like, instead of just clicking a door to open it, you have to hold the door and then, like, physically drag it open with your mouse. Wow. So, like, there's times where I'm trying to open a door and I'm like, let me out of here, there's a ghost behind me, and I just screw it up and die anyway. But we're having fun learning, I think, and that's the biggest thing for me with multiplayer games, is as long as there's some kind of progression with how I learn the game, I'm gonna have fun. But yeah, they don't make it easy, dude. That phantasm or whatever the fuck they call it, you guys got to do a little work on how you, like, map out your controls, because that just made it so much harder to play.
Yeah, the transition between VR to, like, a Joy-Con, it doesn't always work.
No, it's very, like, laggy, and it's very just, like, glitchy, and it's like there's some stuff in it where I'm like, oh, this is kind of dumb. But as me and my friends do most of the time, we just have fun doing the stupid shit in the game. Like, for example, your little clubhouse that you're in as a ghost hunter, you can walk upstairs and, like, shoot basketballs, or like cornhole.
Oh, cornhole.
No shot. They have a cornhole.
They have a little cornhole in there too.
I'm sold.
And they have a giant Jenga that's, like, half as tall as your character. But what I noticed is super fucked up is, like, okay, so you can pick something up, but you can't put it down. You can only throw it. So I'm like, how am I supposed to play Jenga if all I can do is chuck things?
So, aggressive Jenga.
Yeah, so I'll just, like, be throwing Jenga pieces at my friends downstairs, and they're like, stop it, we're trying to figure out what we're doing. I'm like, no! Like,
this is my mission.
So we just honestly just fuck around. And it's been fun to kind of, like, check out the different difficulty levels on it, because the easy, you know, the ghost is kind of doing stuff, and then intermediate and hard, it's like you walk into a house and you're dead. Like, it's so hard to do. And we always just have fun, because I make fun of ghost adventures all the time. And so I'm like, I'm Zach Baggins, I'm going into this house. Like, whenever we start a mission, before entering the house, I make everyone look at me, and then I recite a Zach Baggins monologue to them. Oh, and then I'm like, all right, now we can go inside.
The only one I remember from him is he told a ghost to come fight, fight him.
Come fight me. He's, like, wearing an Affliction shirt. Like, oh, yeah. You scratched me.
Come fight me, bro.
My favorite one, and we keep quoting it when we play the game, is I'm Zach Baggins, and tonight I'm going to fuck a ghost. And you're just like, what? Because there was a literal episode where he was like, we're staying in this brothel and this ghost might have sex with me, and I was like, what?
Touch grass.
Go touch grass, bro.
Touch grass.
So yeah, I think that's half the reason I even enjoy that game, is just to make fun of Zach Baggins.
Go touch grass.
But I love the multiplayer stuff online. That's where me and everyone in my Discord, we just have so much fun making fun of shit. They're just so much better. Like, there's a level in Escape the Backrooms where you're essentially in water and there's some boats you can get on. And there's a bunch of, like, half-sunken houses you have to go in to, like, loot and get stuff. And there's this giant fish monster that's hunting you. So, like, we were all in Discord, and I was, like, sharing my YouTube so we could all listen to music. And I just turned it to Pirates of the Caribbean, and we're all, like, like, trying to get away from this giant fish monster.
Channel your inner pirate.
Yeah. Sure. I was like, yar, matey. It's just fun. I love being stupid with my friends. And, like, even when I play DBD and I'm all alone, I do stupid shit. Like, I'll just let somebody live, or like troll them and they think they're going to live, and then I just kill them. I'm like, yeah, I love, like, screwing with people.
Have, like, yeah, a Mori and instant kill them.
Yeah, just Mori everybody.
Yeah. Well, that was quick.
Exactly.
I've been trying to, actually, now that you say that, I've been trying to get my playtime even further down. Like, I made a personal goal for myself. I was like, if they get two generators, I lose.
Oh.
So I'm like, I'm trying to get everybody killed before they get two of the generators done. It's so fucking hard.
Wow. Yeah. What's that? It's like a Pokemon term when you arbitrarily make rules to make the game harder.
Like a Nuzlocke challenge?
Nuzlocke. Yeah. That's, yeah. You're
pretty,
like,
much what I'm trying to do. Yeah. Just get better at being faster at it too. Cause I've noticed when I play DBD as Chucky, it's a lot of end game stuff. So, like, they're going to get five generators, think they're gone, and then I hook everybody. So I'm trying to get better at not letting them. Dude, DBD is so hard. It is definitely an art form. So if you're playing DBD and you like it, add me there, the Weekly Geekly. I'd love to play with you.
Hell yeah. Well, I guess that just leaves me.
What have you been playing?
I am playing my very first Souls game.
Ooh, which one?
No.
I am playing Remnant 2. which is, I mean, a lot of some people don't consider it a Souls because, you know, it's a shooty shoot, and
it's definitely a Souls-like for sure.
It's a Souls-like, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, honestly. Nice. Like, I have never had this much fun with a Souls game, but I am so engrossed in it, trying to get all of the special guns, the special armors, the rings. It's so much. And it is another one of those games like Baldur's Gate where if you don't expose all of the map, you just missed like 15 really cool things that you really needed.
Ooh. Make it easier for me. I'm not smart, you know? Like, I just like walking through and killing things. Like, geez.
I like getting cool looking armor.
And I mean, Remnant 2 gets an automatic 10 for me because you can pet the dog. One of the archetype is called the handler, and that's he gets a guard dog that gets to go with him. And anytime you,
anytime you want,
you can bend down, pet the dog.
You could do that in Baldur's Gate too.
Hell yeah!
There's a dog that you just find, and his owner's like dead, and it's like, what do you do? And you can try to comfort the dog, but it just gets pissed off and run away. Or you can like comfort it, and it follows you back to your camp. So then every time you go to your camp, there's just a little dog to pet. It has like no mission; it's just a dog. Like, it's just
I have a sneaking suspicion that Tears of the Kingdom did not win this year specifically because you can't pet dogs.
I think that's part of it. Yeah, people were making flying machines and shit. It's like nobody cares. Well, you can't pet a dog.
They made machines where like it was on a rotating gyroscope with a skeleton hand just so they could pet the goddamn dog.
Yeah,
when I see a game like that where people are trying that hard to make an Evangelion suit in game, like what are we doing? What are we
come
doing?
On guys,
what are we doing?
What's going on?
Other than that, though, my cooldown game is definitely Super Mario RPG.
Nice.
I am having a blast with that. If it is a good RPG, it's made by Square Enix.
Not as cool as Power Wash Simulator.
He's like, let's calm down.
Hold on.
There's no Power Wash Simulator, guys.
We all know what game of the year it's going to be.
You should just make a post. This is our game of the year. And make it Power Wash Simulator.
I don't care if it came out last year. It's game of the year every year.
Game T's official recommendation.
Power Wash Simulator.
Just do a whole episode on it.
Oh, wow.
God. Just milk it.
I'm sure we could. Let me talk to JP. He can talk about it all day.
JP's 2 hour episode. I'm not leveled up yet. Hold on. I have the second power washer.
Have you watched the oh my god, I can't talk right now. Have you watched the Humvee yet?
You can watch the DeLorean from Back to the Future. Jeez.
I wish I could go back in time and make that joke again.
Oh yeah.
Well, anyway, as we move on through here, why don't we start talking about our Smash main, since, you know, we hyped up the Winter Wonder Smash tournament. I'll go first. Everybody on this podcast already knows Banjo-Kazooie is the way to go.
Okay.
Interesting.
Now fight.
You know, like I said in our little group chat that we have going on, I've only had one love in my Smash life, and it's been Samus, Armored Samus.
Respect. Oh, yeah. Respect.
Armored Samus.
Big just, respect points. That was my original main. Yeah.
Were you a big Metroid player back in the day?
No, actually, but I am, I think I'm about to pick up the remastered.
Nice.
Switch here to see what that's like.
Very cool. Yeah, I've heard the Metroid Prime trilogy is amazing.
And I just, the reason why I like Sam is straightforward objective, charge up your laser cannon, shoot it at the opponent.
Make big ball, fire big ball.
Yes.
Yeah, I started off with Samus for that reason. Just easy to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I weirdly got into Young Link. Ooh. I don't know why. I think I like the ability to have the sword and the arrow. He's a little more nimble. He's easier to move for me.
And Young Link has the fire arrows too. Yep. So you get a little bit of DPS on there.
For sure. So I think for me, that's been my main lately. But I kind of go back and forth between the two. It really depends on what my friends are playing. But I was telling you, I have this thing I do where, okay, let's say we're like five games in, I've won one of them. I'm not going to win anymore. Everyone gets pissed when I become Donkey Kong because I just take people and I hold them and I jump off the edge with them.
Oh, and I just kill them
that way. And I'm just like, I'm going down. You're going down with me. So.
I don't know if that's toxic or just awesome.
Like, it's a little bit of both for sure.
I lean towards more awesome.
Yeah. My buddy will be like, oh, I've had like six games in a row. And I'm like, not today.
Not anymore.
Just grab him and jump off.
Friendship.
Yeah, friendship over.
God damn.
It's pretty savage, but that's like when I get cutthroat and I'm like, all right, I'm not winning. I'm going to make sure that guy doesn't win.
See, my objective is not to beat you.
Yeah.
My objective is to take you down.
I want to shame you.
You know who I've actually been playing? Mm-hmm. And this is super weird for me in Smash. Mm-hmm. Joker. Because
I didn't know you could play as Joker in Smash.
Yeah. He was one of the new additions. Weird. With the Wave 1 Fighter Pack. Came, I think, right before Banjo-Kazooie, honestly.
I don't know if I like that, man.
Weird. I mean, I played through Persona 5 Royale last year and really, really liked it. And, you know, when Joker originally came out, I picked him up and was like, what the fuck is this moveset? What is he doing? Who is this cat? But, you know, after playing the game, his moveset just really clicked with me, and like now I kind of kick ass as Joker.
I'm really glad you weren't talking about like DC Joker. I was a little confused.
No, kind of thought you were there for a minute.
Justice, man.
I was like, what are you talking about?
As much as I wish it were,
it's Joker in this game.
Does he use a crowbar?
No, Joker and Morgana from Persona.
Yeah, I'm not too Nintendo fluent, so you're going to have to forgive me for that. I'm like, the pink one? Which one are you?
Nah, they're the Phantom Thieves. They steal hearts, you know?
Anime.
Power friendship, I understand.
My yeet is my power. Other than that, I really like Sora. Speaking of that, my yeet is my power. I don't know. What other mains do you guys like?
Oh, if I'm not doing Samus, I'll do Kirby as a troll. I'll like swallow them whole and also try to jump off the edge.
There you go.
Ruin their experience.
You know the dirtiest troll, though? Jigglypuff's rest. Ooh. That shit comes out of nowhere and pisses me off like no other.
Note to self, use Jigglypuff.
Oh, God, I just let my weakness slide.
Dear God.
Oh, God, no. Okay, so opposite end of the table. What is a character you will never see yourself playing? No one will catch you dead playing this trash character.
Probably like Mario, because in my mind he's like, oh, it's Mario. It's like so basic.
Yeah. It's a Mario vanilla. Game.
Vanilla. Very vanilla.
And I can't bring myself to do it. Now, Dr. Mario.
No. Whole other story. He's got a PH fucking D, guys.
He's educated. He has lore. No.
It's the lore. I don't know. Probably Pikachu.
Pikachu,
I have no interest in being a Pokemon.
Huh.
I don't know. There's just...
The speed, though, it's unmatched.
If you're a good fighter, you don't need speed.
Valid.
You know, like, I'm just not as big into Pokemon as I was when I was 7. You know, like, as an adult man, I can't be a Pokemon and, like, believe I'm going to win a fight.
Like, I want to be the very best.
Right. Plus, like, okay, just side tangent here. I am, like, a purist when it comes to Pokemon. There should only be 100. That's it. Why did we keep making more of them?
Gen 1.
I'm sorry, but like, we don't need any more. We had enough. Just stop.
You would not like the latest one.
No, I would hate it. I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
I was a shill and got it. And you can literally ride your main like legendary Pokemon as a motorcycle.
Yeah, but you can't fight with your main legendary Pokemon, which is stupid, until the end of the game.
Oh, yeah. You have to wait till the end to get to use it.
Yeah, you just got to make sure to heal him up and like give him all the sandwiches. Otherwise, it's just a bitch for the rest of its life.
I will say one Smash character I've always wanted to try, I've never gotten to, is Wario.
Wario, I want to see how he is.
I feel like he's right up my alley.
He's a big troll, very twitchy.
Yeah. He's a grouchy old man.
Troll, you say?
Troll.
I'm interested.
All right, I'm about to drop a very controversial opinion.
Uh-oh.
What's about this?
I fucking hate Byleth.
I don't know who that is.
Byleth is one of the newer characters that was introduced, and I think completely shattered the meta.
Really?
All of these new, extravagant sword fighters that came to Smash Ultimate just break the damn game.
Huh.
I don't like Byleth. I don't like...
Sephiroth?
Do you like Sephiroth's
thoughts on him?
Okay. If you know how to use Sephiroth, because Sephiroth is very tricky to use. If you're not on par with how to use that sword, you're going to have a bad time.
It's too long. It's
I do like how he can like hang on to the side of the stage, though. Like, that's really cool. Man, I'm trying to think of who some of the other ones, like the spell swords, the ones that came from Fire Emblem. Most of those characters just... I don't find a fair fight.
Yeah. Is Roy Fire Emblem? Roy, what's he from?
Roy is Fire Emblem, but I don't consider him to be one of those newer, more flashy sword fighters. Who's the one that is like, she's got the glasses, she like shoots the guns.
Samus?
She's like dressed in black. It's a Switch game.
Bayonetta.
Bayonetta. Yeah, I fucking hate Bayonetta too.
Yeah.
I always
those are characters I will never play or never play against.
I feel like Star Fox is super underrated.
Oh God, no. Star Fox has been the star since the 64,
I feel like he's an underrated character though. I never see anyone play him.
Okay, anymore. That's
like he's
that's
a good ass character and I never see anybody play him and it pisses me off and I'm like, dude, Star Fox could win.
I actually really liked playing as a Solid Snake.
Yeah,
just like his final smash was kind of ridiculous to me, where I think, what was it, just like honed in on your opponent and it just
He just like hangs from a helicopter and like starts shooting RPGs at people. Yeah.
And just the fact that a PlayStation character was in a Nintendo.
Yeah, so
that was really cool.
They should do more of that.
Well, I mean, it's over now.
I want to see Kratos like decapitate Mario.
You're right. That'd be sick.
Well, what I need in my life.
He's already busy in Fortnite. He can't make Smash.
Right, oh, God.
Right. They got Doom Guy. They got Master Chief.
That's they got everything in there.
Smash has class and only invites the best. Yeah. Fortnite just takes the rest.
The creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme.
Although I do mess with Doom, it would not work in Smash. Just like how graphic that.
Oh,
world
yeah.
Is.
Could you imagine just like Doom Guy pulls out the big demon sword and just like starts slicing through Mario? Yeah. Like Mario's already died in 4 Smash trailers. What do you think Doom Guy would do to him?
Kirby, hard counter.
You just hear the Doom music.
Oh, man. Kirby would be super cool to, you know, eat Doom Guy.
Yeah. And like, have the little Doom Guy outfit on.
Yeah. That'd be fun. What would Doom Guy's neutral B be, though? Super shotgun?
Yeah, it'd be the BFG.
The BFG.
Oh,
it'd be the BFG.
That has to be a Smash Ball.
Oh yeah.
That has to be Final Smash.
Sure.
Naturally. Yeah, I just thinking like of all the grotesque possibilities, Princess Peach versus Doom Guy. Like,
fucking Animal Crossing characters versus Doom Guy.
I mean,
those were the two games that competed when those games came out, so it would be worth it.
That'd be fun. I'd watch that.
Fucking Isabel just wrecks Doom Guy.
I'm trying to think of the character that was like 2D. Was it Mr. Game and Watch?
Oh yeah, Mr. Game and Watch.
Yeah.
Is he like considered like low tier? Because I always wanted to know if he's actually good or I'm just that absolute garbage at.
I think a lot of people consider Game & Watch pretty mid-tier.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah, he's got his down B is like a hammer that has a counter on top of his head. And if you hit the 9, it's like an instant kill.
Oh, cool.
It does, I think, at least 75 base damage.
That's crazy. Right.
Yeah.
I just think about how nightmare feel it would be to like see a 2D like figure in front of me.
How do they even fight it? Because it's standing against them. It's standing with the.
We need more. 2D plane. We need another 2D character to face off against him, like Doodle Bob or something.
Doodle.
Like just have him in there, or like Chalk Zone Kid or something like that. Like just put another 2D kind of character in.
Why
there.
Why aren't both of those characters in the new Nick All Star?
I feel like they should be.
Like, why isn't Doodle Bob in Nick All Star? Come on, Nickelodeon. That's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, or at least like a secret skin for SpongeBob. Or something. That'd be sick.
Wow, I can't believe that has not been a thing. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, we're kind of veering off of Smash Man getting into Nick All Star now. So
All-Star, RIP Multiverses.
Ooh, Multiverses is good. Superstar Shaggy.
Oh, I can't believe they put that in the game.
It's only the best thing.
Just
ever.
For the meme of it.
Yeah, the Super Saiyan Shaggy.
There was so good.
There's someone that made a level 20 Shaggy character as a D&D like boss, and it's impossible to beat. Like, there is literally no way to beat it. You could beat Tiamat, the dragon goddess, more than you could beat Shaggy. It's nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. I was like, okay, I'm probably going to use this one day. I'm going to set up a campaign and everyone's going to be all into it for like months on end. And then they open a door and it's Shaggy. And they're going to be like, what the fuck? How do we do this?
Like, come at me, man.
Like, zoink, scoot. Oh,
whoa. That was really good.
That's like on point.
Was on point.
Exclusive on Game T Podcast. Never going to get it anywhere else.
All right. Well, let's move on forward to what games we have loved and hated this year.
Ooh, okay.
Well, I think I'll just start off with it's more fun to hate on things sometimes.
Okay. Okay.
I think the Golem Lord of the Rings game might have been worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
Oh, just looks and sounds and feels horrible.
Like, I was so fucking excited for that game.
Really?
I thought it was.
Wait.
I thought it was going to be cool. Hold
on. Really? You were excited for a Golem game?
I thought it was going to be cool.
Dylan, what the fuck?
I can't wait to play as Golem.
Dylan, there's never going to be a cool Golem game. I'm sorry.
Just off rip, I knew I was not going to buy this game, but then I saw... I have the an image pulled up just to remind me how pissed I was when I saw it, and it's terrible.
I probably know the exact image you're looking at, too, and it's going to make me mad.
it's so cringeworthy.
It's Gollum giving the nastiest.
From conception to delivery, I don't understand why there was no one in the office to stop and go, wait, why are we doing this? Like, who wants this? Out of all the Lord of the Rings characters out there, why Gollum?
I thought it was going to be cool.
Why?
I had no defense for it. I just thought it was going to be new and exciting, and it turned into the biggest piece of shit.
What did you expect?
Maybe like a Dishonored stealth type game.
Yeah, is that what you were thinking?
A little bit.
I could kind of see that, sure. But even then, it only goes so far.
No, it's like a PS2 stealth game.
Yeah, right. For sure.
I was kind of expecting Gollum to find love, so that was kind of a big turn.
You want a dating sim with Gollum?
Yeah, the Gollum called my precious or something like that.
Oh, no.
And then she gets a restraining order. It's a whole other game.
Like I said, I did discover another game that I think looks even worse than Golem. It's a little game I like to call.
I think I know what you're going to say.
King Kong 2023.
Jesus, Dylan,
that looks
like
garbage. Dylan had not seen this at all.
I could make something better on Microsoft Paint.
Literally what came to mind was Microsoft Paint.
It just looks horrible. Again, from conception to delivery, why did no one say, what are we doing?
Why do we need another King Kong iteration, especially one that's so blocky and terrible looking?
I think these are like the surplus games where at the end of the year they're looking through what they spent and they're going, guys, got like an extra $30,000 here. What should we do?
Let's put out a shit game.
Oh yeah, and you know some guy in the back office has just been waiting for this opportunity. Like, oh my god, I can finally pitch my Golem game. And then he does, and he's like expecting this huge reaction at the boardroom meeting, and then the guy's just on his phone, like, yeah, oh what? Yeah, sure, do that.
Push it through.
We have the money. Let's say we spent it, so we get more next year. Dumb, dude. I don't think there's any games I didn't like this year, to be honest. I was a little annoyed with Phantasmophobia's, like I said, how they moved it from VR to PC, but that's not even enough to say I don't like the game. I don't know. I just don't think there's anything I hated. I'll say that there was one game I bought, which I expected a little more from. It's called Evil West.
Oh, yes.
Which is essentially like Red Dead Redemption if you were Hellboy.
Yeah, and it's another Souls-like game, too.
Which it's not bad. It's just so basic. And it's very much modeled off of games from the early 2000s. Like, it's not going to let you be open world. It's very, you can only go here. And I like that to some degree, but it just feels like there's so many wasted opportunities with that game. Mm. Like, things that could have been dived into even more, or characters that could have been fleshed out, or you could have had a more variety of characters. Where I feel like it's kind of a copy-paste game throughout the whole game. I'm like, man, they could have done a lot more with this. And if I was in charge of it, I would have done a lot more with it, too.
I'll go kind of AAA, more mainstream here. Obviously, from Golem and King Kong, you kind of knew you're going to step into 10 miles of shit right there.
Right.
So Jedi Survivor was kind of disappointing.
I heard this.
Why?
I just couldn't click with the story for whatever reason. I think aesthetically, it looked amazing.
Sure.
Voice acting was great, but the story was...
just lackluster.
I couldn't get into it. I downloaded it. I bought digital. I'm usually a physical media person. I bought digital and... I didn't finish it.
So, question: do they still have the arena, the fighting arena?
I can't honestly remember right now. I played through the story, and it's cool that you get like dual wield off rip and all that. And I don't know. It's just like in the timeline of the story, the whole time, like, well, Darth Vader's out there somewhere, and no matter how powerful I feel, I could just get wrecked. And I guess I'll spoil one thing. You do meet Boba Fett for like 5 seconds, and that was kind of cool.
Was it worth the ticket price, though?
$70.
I would have spent $30 on it.
That's what games are worth nowadays. $70.
That's crazy, bro.
I will say, like, the only thing about Golem and Rise of Khan, the only positive is that they weren't full. Well, I say they're not full price, but I think they were both $60 or $50.
Jesus. So. Hey, Remnant 2 is
$10 games.
Remnant 2 is sitting at $50.
Wow.
Never hit full price.
That's wild.
Yeah. I love it.
So Jedi, I think
JP might throw hands with you for that, by the way, for not liking Jedi Survivor.
Oh, man. So was Fallen Order the first one?
Yeah.
So they had a feature in there I was talking about. It's this battle arena and you can train your character and it's like a virtual training sim. And then you can put as many different types of characters as you want in there. But one thing you could do, which me and my old roommate took full advantage of, is you can pit things against each other without fighting. So it's essentially just like an arena to fight characters. So we'd take all the legendaries, all four of the legendaries, put them in opposite corners and then make them fight and just see who wins. And we did like 150 iterations of it to see who was the actual strongest legendary. It was pretty fun. I had my own bets. So we started putting bets on it. Like, oh, you two shots if you lose. And just getting shit faced watching like animated fights. It was so much fun. So I was wondering if they had it in two. Because it'd be really fun to continue that tradition. And that's probably the only reason I'd buy the game. I would just buy it and only use the virtual sim. Yeah. But yeah.
I would say the gameplay-wise, it was fun. It did have a lot of bugs at the beginning.
Yeah.
Fixed it. And one more thing about it. Hmm. Purple lightsaber, man.
Yeah. There you go. That's how you got to do it for Sam.
I mean, it's pretty cool that you get to design your own lightsaber.
Let's be real here. The customization in that game is pretty cool. In both of them.
And it was satisfying killing the Rancor.
Yeah.
Killed several Rancors.
That's cool.
All right, now I'm thinking about it. Maybe I didn't really hate it then. You're like, maybe I was just.
Maybe I did have a good time.
Yeah, maybe I did enjoy my experience. But I'll give it another chance now that we're talking about it.
I talked myself into it.
Yeah. Here we go again.
Game I really hated this year, and this could be another controversial opinion.
Power Washer?
No. I fucking love that game. Love that game. No. Atomic Hearts.
Never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like the. What is it?
It tried so hard to be BioShock Infinite.
That's what I got. I looked at it and like, oh, that's BioShock in Russia or wherever it was placed.
Yeah.
Kind of like how, what is that? Tiny Tina's Wonderland is just Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
It's just a reclone.
Yeah, it's just like Borderlands 4.
So what, was it just not worth it?
Yeah, it wasn't worth it. It was very boring, very basic. Ugh. I mean, I wasn't interested in the story just from the get-go because, like, you're in... It's like Soviet Russia won.
Yeah.
And it's boring. Like a big utopia and all the machines basically run everything. Mm. But that's about as interesting as it gets, you know, because the machines, they turn.
Yeah.
They kill people.
Like, who saw that coming? Yeah.
Who could have prevented this? No one saw it coming.
Yeah.
And, like, the weapons, the crafting, they tried to implement a crafting system, but it was like you get three materials to make two different useful items, and that is the significance of the crafting.
Ah, that's kind of
like,
boring.
Yeah, it just, they missed the mark so much, and it looked like it was going to be such a cool game. Not a fan of Atomic Hearts. And then Evil West for the exact same reasons. Like, I started that, played for maybe about 2 hours, forced myself to play for that 2 hours,
right,
and hated every minute of it.
Yeah, I just could. I love the aesthetics, and I'll still try to get back to it just to complete it.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it looked cool. Yeah. It looked gruesome and
great
gory.
Concept.
Yeah, the lore looked good.
Yeah, for sure. It's just one of those things that they just didn't put enough into it, you know?
Yeah.
Two of my favorite games this year were remakes, and I think they were done pretty well. Dead Space. Was that this year or last year?
That was this year.
Okay, yeah.
You're like, I can't even remember. It's so late in the year.
Yeah, no. And Dead Space and obviously Resident Evil.
Nice.
My man.
Leon.
Hell yeah.
Leon.
Yes.
Although I said with Dead Space, the reason I enjoy it so much is because it's still like kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like outer space.
Yeah.
I let a little plasma cutter that I refuse to use any other gun just so I can get that achievement off rip.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's just... Well done, beautifully reconstructed from the ground up, several quality of life improvements.
Yeah, they added a bunch new rooms. Like, they really streamlined the traversion across the Ishimura. Mm-hmm. Like, they added side quests to go back and do, things to find, incentives to play it again. I loved the Dead Space remake. I almost didn't include it on a Game of the Year list, though, just because of the price tag.
What was it, full price or six?
It was $69.99 retail for the base edition and $90 for the like enhanced edition. And I'm like, yikes. I bought this for $50 in 2008. And that's now you want like 30 more from me?
That's just as ridiculous as them like quote unquote re-releasing Red Dead 2 for $60 on what Nintendo
that's
platforms.
Rockstar, though.
Well, yeah, but it's like the same thing. You're like, you're essentially saying that something is worth it or worth more years after the fact. It's like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Give me Bully 2.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of sequels, the one I've been praying for, which might not ever happen, is Brutal Legend 2. Did you ever play that game?
I've not.
So look it up real quick. It's a Jack Black heavy metal game.
Actually, now
you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah,
it's so good.
360 game came out in 2009.
I modeled a D&D character off of Eddie Riggs, the main character, and I went so far as to buy a custom-made D&D minifig of him so I could play him in the game.
I remember, like, you could do, like, literal battles with armies.
Yeah, it was RTS, but it was also open world, so it was a little bit of both. But, dude, one of my favorite games of all. I replay it every year on its anniversary just to beat it on the day. But I have wanted a sequel to that forever. They did, I think, Psychonauts... 2 after that, and then there was like a bunch of Easter eggs and references to Brutal Legend, and I was like, come on, man, just make another one, like, please. But the
I guess I forgot that Brutal Legend was made by Double Fine.
Yep. And the guy who made it, I think Tim Schafer is his name, I could be wrong, but he was like, hey, if I make a sequel, I'm gonna need like multi-millions of dollars to do it. Well, I was like, I get it. I mean, the games have progressed so far as for when that came out. So.
I mean, look at the names behind Brutal Legend. Yeah. Just to pay for the cast alone.
Ozzy, Lemmy, like all these people.
Looking, Ozzy Osbourne is like one of the main characters.
Right.
We got to make that sequel. He's getting up there.
Yeah, he is. For sure. He's not doing so good anymore.
Yeah, he's getting old. I have been, side note, I've been listening to his family's podcast. The Osbournes have a new podcast, which is really good.
It is a very good podcast.
It's interesting because it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy with Groot, how like you never understand him till the last moment. Ozzy talking is so hard to recognize that the only reason you understand him is because his family members understand him. And then the 2-3 episodes in, you're kind of like, oh, I could kind of get that. Like, I kind of know what he's saying.
You start speaking Ozzy.
Yeah, it's all context clues, too. You're like, oh, okay, so that's what he said. Like,
watching for hand cues. Yeah.
Well, and then what's kind of fucked up about it, so like, I'm watching this episode, and all four of them are sitting there talking, and Ozzy will be like, and then they'll just ignore him and keep talking. And I'm like, he's the reason y'all are famous, and you're just ignoring him. Like, it's so sad. Please get on Brutal Legend 2, please. Double Fine, we need it.
All right, here's a game coming out of left field that I really enjoyed. The Oregon Trail.
God damn it.
Do I
need to leave again?
Did they remake that?
They did. Jesus. Check this out.
VR game
up here. It's just a nice little title screen. It's God a roguelite. It's roguelite. So you can go on the trail as many times as you want and unlock new things each time.
Dysentery.
Yes.
You now, died again.
There is an achievement for dying of dysentery in the game, of course. But now an entirely new generation can witness the joys of dying of dysentery. It's so great. And this game, as joke worthy as this game is, it is actually really cool because it was very, very craftfully made. Like, the developers worked with Native American scholars like make accurate history accounts, because the original Oregon Trail, the one we all remember playing back in elementary school on the computer, not a good representation of Native American
It was
life.
The white man's interpretation, for sure.
It was a very whitewashed educational game,
quote unquote. Yeah,
and this game is not educational. It's not labeled as an educational game, but it is so much fun going
across
the
trail. That's ironic,
though,
that they did all the research and they're not going to be educational. Like, you actually did what you were supposed to do and you don't want to call it educational?
Well, I think it's not educational in the sense that educational games have to be, like, for sixth graders and under.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
These are, like, actual accounts, maybe not actual accounts, but very close representation of what happened. And, one of the main quest lines as you start the game is so sad. Like, you help a little girl and her family that are broken down on the side, and like, you keep seeing them as you go down the trail.
Jesus.
And eventually the little girl gets sick.
help, I have dysentery.
Yeah, basically.
I'm just imagining my 5-year-old playing Oregon Trail, and they're like, Daddy, what's dysentery? I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
It's a kind of plant.
Yes, it's a
what?
Medicinal.
Yeah, no, Oregon Trail really surprised me.
That's crazy, man. What a world we live in.
I know,
such right? a crazy game world. I love it.
Some other good ones. Ghostwire Tokyo. I really liked that. I've talked a little bit about that on the pod, along with, obviously, you know, Dead Island 2. Can't let people forget that that game came out this year.
Did we talk about the forbidden magical game?
Octopath Traveler 2.
the one with the iconic book series and
Hogwarts Legacy. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I loved it.
I didn't know if that was too.
Oh yeah, we can talk about it.
The only thing I didn't like about it was after a while the loot felt a little.
Oh, it
sad.
Was. Yeah, no. Like once you hit a threshold in that game, and then there was just nothing to do.
Yeah, for like, sure.
You craft the things, and eventually money becomes obsolete. Yeah, there just wasn't a lot of incentive to keep.
Once you get 98% of the way through the story, you don't even need to finish it. Like, I beat the game without finishing the game, technically.
Yeah.
You know the one thing that kind of pissed me off about that game? I wanted to be evil.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a fucking badass, dude. And it didn't work out that way.
They made it seem so much like your choices would impact the story.
And none of it mattered. Not even one thing you say matters.
You get two choices in the game.
Yeah.
Ooh. Who the fuck do you want to go to Hogsmeade with?
Yeah.
And who the fuck do you want to take with you on the final battle?
And none of it matters. none of it really matters because you're going to do the same thing regardless of who comes with you. And like, I remember, I'll never forget this. I was so excited for the ending of this. And the professor's like, what are you going to do with this magical power once you get it? And I was like, oh, I'm going to fucking kill everybody. Like, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to use it for myself. And he literally just goes, all right. And then like the next thing happens. And I was like, what? Bro, I'm Slytherin. I'm evil. I'm doing all this shit. And no one cares. I'm literally like Avada Kedavraing people in the hallway and no one cares.
That's the other part about it is you would have thought that the... you know, forbidden curses would carry more weight on your character's morality.
It's that dude's dad or uncle that gives a shit, and nobody else does.
No one fucking cares.
Fuck that guy. I beat his ass hard. Like, I was like, get out of here.
I waited so long to use those spells because I thought...
Oh, did you really?
Because I thought it would have taken your character down a path that couldn't be come back from.
And here I am, like, 5 hours into the game, like, I gotta go.
As soon as the questline became available, I'm like, I straight up did that as soon as possible.
When he was like, we can learn these curses, I was like, come on, bro, give it to me.
My wife actively chose not to learn the curses, and I laughed at her.
They're like some of the most overpowered combos. Like, you can combine like one curse where every enemy's curse and you use Avada Kedavra and you can kill,
and then
like,
it
kill
just
all
everyone.
Of them.
Yeah, I did that all the time, and then I would always use it on the trolls.
Oh, of course.
Just like first thing, like, you're dead.
Yeah,
I think if they can improve that game and patch it and maybe like add some DLC and lengthen the story and add more reason to come back to the game, I think it could see a revival. But I don't think they're going to do it, especially because the next big project is Quidditch.
Yeah.
And they've already started getting people to sign up to play the beta for Quidditch, which I think would be next year. So I'm excited for that. I'm a little bummed that it's more of a cartoony game than the other one is. Like, Legacy, it looks good, but with the Quidditch game, it very much looks like an early EA game. So I'm like, well, we'll see. I really want to play it, though.
They've done that before. Like, I remember playing on like a 2001 Macintosh Harry Potter Quidditch.
I was surprised they didn't include Quidditch into the Hogwarts Legacy.
That was a big complaint. And like, there's even so many dialogue moments where they talk about the fact that Quidditch isn't happening this year, and it really feels like a developer cop-out. Mm-hmm. Like, the entire situation of like, oh, the headmaster doesn't want Quidditch to be played this year. Like,
no, for sure. Why'd you even put it out there?
Like, the developers just ran out of time.
Yeah, they didn't have time and money to do it. That's why. It would have been sick if they put that in the game. See, if they did, people would still be playing Hogwarts Legacy.
Yeah.
Like, nonstop. Absolutely. There'd be a whole tourney
going on.
Could
you imagine multiplayer Quidditch? Fuck, like, a world ranking system for Quidditch through Hogwarts Legacy?
That would turn into a real esport.
Yeah, that would be the next esport.
people would play that for like years.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Literal years.
Well, they're working on it, so hopefully it steps up to the plate when they get it out, because if they actually succeed with this, it will become the next esport.
Oh, absolutely.
There's already people playing real life Quidditch in real with brooms.
I had to cover a couple live Quidditch events at my old job for a newspaper here in the area, and
interesting,
to say
the least.
Yeah. See, I couldn't get into LARPing with Quidditch because I would want to bash the fuck out of people with the bludger.
Well, I think it's funny that like somebody has to be the snitch. Like a person is the snitch when they play. So they're just running around like, you can't catch me. Yeah.
They have to be physically fit. Like, I could not.
Neither could I. Yeah, I'd have to lose like 20 pounds to be the snitch. That's so fucking funny.
I don't know. I almost want to download, just thinking of games that I really was interested in this year. I want to re-download Cyberpunk because I hear it's actually like playable now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I haven't even started, but I now want to play it.
Well, and everybody's been huge on Phantom Liberty since that came out.
I've heard that has been nothing but successful.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Secret to Success, drop a Netflix anime, get people hyped, and
there you
play your game again.
Profit. Yes. Okay, a game. This is the last game I'm going to mention, but God damn it, people, this game is good. Starfield.
Yeah?
Starfield. Okay. Everybody's been hating on Starfield, and I'm like, this game, it's Bethesda. What could you not like?
I can't play it because I'm Team PlayStation, don't have a PC. I'm just sitting here on my little Sony island.
I've heard good and bad things. I don't think it's what I exactly would want.
Mm. Do you think people just built up too high of expectations for it?
Yeah. That's what I think.
I had really high expectations for it, and this game pretty much delivered on them. I mean, it's a life sim. Like, I've built star bases and like entire habitats.
That's cool.
Yeah, like you can pretty much do whatever you want, from combat to like even just building a village.
Well, I would try it out, but
but I can't.
Oh, wait.
Hey, you guys remember when Xbox didn't have exclusives?
Yeah, you know, just thinking about exclusives, God of War Ragnarok actually just released free DLC.
Really?
And you go to Valhalla as Kratos in the mirror. It's like set post-game, and it's like a roguelike. You like go through areas again, you get different stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Every time.
So they turned God of War into like Hades.
Oh, yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Much
that's
God of War, Hades with God of War graphics, and it's like there's... I know I've said lore like several times, but there's like literal lore here. Like,
it progresses. All about the lore today.
Dripping with the lore.
Does it have lore? No, not playing it.
not
for me.
Yeah, it was like super impressive, and it was free to download.
Wow,
free to download.
Nice. DLC. That's awesome.
That's cool. So I'm really excited for next year. What's it? Behavior, right? They do DBD. They're coming out with a new one in the DBD universe. It's a create your own adventure kind of game called The Casting of Frank Castle. Ooh. And that's supposed to be giving us more lore on the entity, on the world. It's going to kind of tie into the game a little bit more than I think people realize, but I'm really excited for that because it's in the vein of like The Quarry, like a game like that.
Ooh, nice. I love The Quarry.
Yeah, me too. So I think that would be really fun. Oh, for sure. I love it. Even after I beat it, I'll put it on movie mode and just watch it because I think it's just entertaining. So,
yeah, very nice.
Lot going on in gaming.
Yes, it was a huge, big, stellar, amazing year for gaming. 2023 was awesome. I don't know if 2024 can live up to this year's hype.
Well, maybe it can because we're kicking it off the right way at Herd at Sports Bar and Grill. January 27th for the Super Smash Tournament.
Hey, wow, that took some talent.
What a fucking segue that was.
I was like,
not my first rodeo. So hopefully we see you guys out there. See you crushing some enemies and maybe Donkey Kong jumping some people off the side like myself. But yeah, I'm excited. It'll be a good time.
That is right. Be there on January 27th at the Herd Dat Sports Bar in La Vista, Nebraska. Pre-registration is open. It's going to be in the description of this episode, so go ahead and find that link, sign up. We'll see you there, and maybe you'll win this. Oh, we're moving it.
Isn't there what's this thing?
Oh, that is the secret.
Oh,
there's
a secret prize
this year that's too small to show on camera right now.
Right,
so
right,
that's
naturally
the only reason. But yes, you can find out what that secret prize is when you show up to the event. Now, I suppose without further ado, everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to the Game Tea Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode, and you just got your Game Tea. Send-offs, boys.
Get out of here.
Get your stuff and get out. Touch some grass.
Touch some grass.
Touch some grass.
Bye.
See ya.
A Herd at Sports Network production.